Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. All this I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. This is the word of God.
Well, good morning and welcome to you all. I must congratulate you on your timing. You have perfect timing in your arrival, in that around about 25 past 10, there were very few people, just a handful in church, and you all time your entry perfectly so that you don't have to be sitting too long with your masks on, and I do congratulate you on that. You are all most welcome this morning as you join in our Sunday worship here at Bethesda. And we do also welcome all of those who are joining us this morning online and those joining us via recordings and other means on future days. You're all most welcome. And our prayer is that you will know God's presence as you worship together with us. Well, my name is Paul. I'm part of the leadership team here at Bethesda. And it's really good to have Guy here with me this morning. Welcome, Guy. How are you?
Good morning, Paul. Yeah, I'm very well indeed. Thank you. Lovely to be sharing in the ministry with you this morning.
Yes, two weeks running, Guy. And you've been back at work now, I think it's probably for around about a month, isn't it? Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And how are you finding that? Because you had a long period when you were on furlough, like so many others, and then you're back at work. I just wondered, how's the routine of being back at work? Is it irksome, or is it easy, or is Karen really pleased that you're back at work? Or?
Well, that's a harder question to answer, whether she's really pleased. No, I think it's going really well, and I'm enjoying it. I was on a phone conversation with a church, one of my friends in the church here yesterday, and we're just talking about some of the important structures that we have in our lives, and I think for me, I realised, having been on furlough, how much work was a key constituent of my life, and it's great to be back in it and doing it, and everybody's been very welcoming, so far so good.
That's great, and I think you're right, we do need that structure. I have one other question, concern that I have, guys. Have you been up to the allotment recently?
Well, we most certainly have been up to the allotment, and that's been a great blessing. And if you said to me this time last year that I'd be looking online at different types of gooseberry to see what I should plant next year, I'd have thought you were completely mad, but we've been really enjoying it, and we're up yesterday, and it was great.
Yeah. Well, I'm relieved to hear that, because I did have a sort of nightmare scenario in my mind where you'd have neglected it, and the squirrels would have taken over, including that one who drove you off a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
but clearly, they're not up there in deck chairs at the moment, sort of taking over the allotment.
As far as I know, anyway, I've not seen him again, so I guess we've survived that scrape.
We'll await further news.
Yeah, all has been good.
Well, let's come to our worship this morning. We're going to begin by joining in our hearts, not in song, but in our hearts, with a lovely hymn of praise this morning. It's May the Peoples Praise You. And it's full of the joy that Guy was telling us about last Sunday. And this song has been chosen for us this morning, particularly by Jill and Terry at the back there. And this is as part of the celebrations of their 50th wedding anniversary this weekend. So thank you for choosing this song. Many congratulations to you both. And may you know God's richest blessing in your celebrations. So I guarantee now, folks, that although you're not going to be singing, that this will get your feet tapping as we join together with May the Peoples Praise You.
Thank you.
Join together in prayer. Let's pray together, shall we? Our loving Father, as we join together in this way, we thank you for the way in which the words and the tune of that song have drawn us into your presence. We thank you for the picture the words have painted of the work which you have done for us in the Lord Jesus. Our Father, we thank you that you have called us out of darkness. You have called us out of our sin and our despair and our lostness, that you have called us into a new life and a wonderful and marvelous new life, a life of salvation and rescue, a life to be lived to the full, a life lived amongst a family of God's people, and a life which looks forward to hope with you forever. Our loving Father, we thank you for this amazing, extraordinary transformation that you have undertaken in our lives. Our Father, the song also calls us to come in worship. And we pray as we reflect upon these things that our hearts, our lives would be full of worship and praise for you. Our Father, as we come, we're conscious that even in the days of this past week, even today, that we have fallen short, that we've failed you, that we've not lived as we should. And Father, we bring our confession to you and seek your cleansing again in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be right with you, that we would be able to be here in your presence, full of praise and worship. So bless this time to us and help us, whether we're here in church, at home watching it live, watching a little later on, Father, whenever we join in this time, we pray that you'd help us to be grateful in our hearts of all that you've done for us in the Lord Jesus, and to bring to you the praise and worship and adoration of our hearts with everything that we have, with heart, soul, strength and mind, that our worship would be lifting and honouring of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world, in these days. And Father, this prayer we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
No matter where we're from or what our culture may be, if you think about it, our experience from birth to death is marked by conflict. And we see this in every sphere and phase of life, from kids fighting over toys to adults fighting over politics. And this has been the case for centuries. But conflict is not only external, it's internal as well. It makes its home in each of us. Conflicted identity, conflicted desires, conflicted feelings. We all have experienced conflict in our own lives. But what causes conflict, and is there an answer to it? The Bible says that the source of all of our conflict is rooted in our conflict with God. Our desire to put ourselves first instead of God creates problems when we bump into other people who put themselves first too. But what's stunning is that God's response is not to withdraw and allow us to consume ourselves. He actually launches his grand plan of conflict resolution. This is why Jesus came to earth. This Jesus, known as the Prince of Peace, came to end our conflict with God and with one another, to bring us back into friendship with God, and to teach us how to put others first instead of ourselves. Now, we certainly must admit that many well-intentioned religious people, Christians included, have done some pretty terrible things in the name of faith. I mean, crusades, inquisitions, transatlantic slave trade, colonialism, and a whole host of other terrible episodes they've brought shame on the Christian church. But I'd suggest that whenever Christians have caused such conflict, as I've done in the past, it's not because we have too much Jesus, but too little. It's a failure to live in accord with the moral beauty of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. But if both religious and non-religious people and organizations tend to put themselves first and make mistakes and cause conflict, is there any hope for true lasting peace? Thankfully, true Christian hope is not based upon our own efforts or on the moral performance of the church, but in the ultimate peacemaking work of Christ. But what I'm saying is this. If Jesus is who he says he is, then we can see the end of conflict on the horizon. And his promise is that the peace that he achieved in his death, burial, and resurrection will one day come into full bloom. It will blossom on this earth. And one day he will return and bring that peace for which we've been longing. Jesus claimed to be the end to all conflict and the only way for us to find peace within ourselves, with others, and with God.
Do you want to come and do your, we're going to have a video for Paul's children's talk, but do you want to come and do it? Excellent.
Well, I'll make it very, very brief, but my talk was set in the garden at home, not unfortunately on the beach at Gwythion, as we were last week. I had to do most of the talk in the house anyway because I was trying to get out in between the showers. And it was basically about two trees in my garden. And one of them is an apple tree and it produces, pity I haven't brought the fruit along for you to see this morning, but it produces the most wonderful red apples. They are so tasty to eat. They make a wonderful pie. They make a wonderful crumble. And that tree is just such a delight to me. And in August and September, the tree was just bowed right down to the ground with masses of fruit. And then in my garden, there's another tree. And it's supposed to be a plum tree. But if I were to say to you, well, I'm going to show you the fruit of this tree, that would be it. My hands would be completely empty. The tree had lots of blossom, lots of leaves. It showed lots of promise. But at the end of the day, there was no fruit at all. Tremendous contrast between those two trees. And that reminds us of something really important, which is this, that when God comes and looks at our lives, rather like a gardener, he's the master gardener. And when he comes and looks at our lives, God is looking for fruit. And he's looking for the fruit of the Spirit, the things that we're talking about at the moment, to see that there is love and joy and peace and gentleness and kindness and all of those things showing in our lives and in the way that we treat other people. And I guess the question for each of us this morning is this: when God comes and looks at my life, am I more like the apple tree that's got that lovely red fruit and which is such a delight? Or am I like the plum tree that promises an awful lot, but in the end delivers very little or delivers nothing at all? So there we go, Guy. That's the children's talk in brief, and I'll hand back to you.
Thank you. Excellent. Right, well, we have some notices. In fact, we have quite a lot of notices, so I'll do my very best to move on with pace. Do please make use of family news. So much to pray for there. Sometimes people say, what should I pray for? Well, if you're really stuck with that question, then do just work down some of the items on there and bring these matters to God in prayer, and that will be really, 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 really good. Some things just for information and to think about. We've got some AWM link booklets here if you would like to take that for your interest in prayer. These are they're at the front here on the platform each side, so you can get those as you leave. Also at the front you can see some Christmas bags. I don't think what the right word is for them. And there's a really helpful piece in Family News about FIND and what they're doing this year, because obviously some of their usual Christmas activities are constrained. But do please be generous and helpful and supportive, and it's a way in which the church can show love to the community in Ipswich as well. So please do leave your gifts here if you have something today, or use the means that are given within Family News as well. We've had an update from Eventide. Andrew rang me last night to say that as far as I know, by way of mileage, they're at about 1,200 miles. I don't know how far the North Pole is by the way that they've tracked it. I looked on Google this morning to see, and it's 2,468 miles as the crow flies. So, but what way they've gone, I don't know. But 1,200 miles is a great effort. So do please support them if you're able to do that. Perhaps just one really important thing as well to share, and probably coming as no surprise to you, but you'll have seen the restrictions that the Prime Minister shared last night, and the government have updated in detail on their website today. Maybe you've read that, maybe not. But the government confirmed overnight that church services need to cease whilst this new restriction is on in England. And so whilst I think we've had a really great time and really enjoyed this time, it's personally a great sadness to me that we need to stop. Obviously, the government have asked us to push the pause button, so we will do that until such time as we're given the okay again. But we'll keep you up to date through the various means of communication as we do. Titus tells us that we should be subject to the rulers and authorities, that we should be obedient and do whatever is good. And we will do that as a church and be good citizens and do the right thing. So it's a great disappointment to me, and I'm sure to many of us, that we can't meet in this way for a while, but we will continue to meet online as we had been doing before then. I think that is all. We're going to sing the song, Be Still, for the Presence of the Lord. We're thinking this morning very much around the theme of peace. And this is a lovely song which we can just engage in and just be still in his presence as we meet together here in this way this morning. And then I'll be back to continue in our worship. So let's just join in our hearts in this lovely song now.
Come now, before you now, for we
going to read from Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. If you have a copy of your Bible with you, it would be good to follow. Very, very well-known words, and perhaps if they're very familiar with you, you can say them in your heart as I read them. But they are lovely words about the peace of God in times of challenge and struggle. So Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We're going to do that as we pray together. Now, let's pray together, shall we? Our loving Father, our thoughts have been significantly affected, perhaps our emotions and our feelings, by the announcements that the Prime Minister made yesterday. And our Father, as different members of the church family, respond in different ways to this. We just lift each other to you in this time and this situation and seek your help with us in the places where we need that help. Father, for those who are especially anxious and concerned, we do pray that the peace, your peace, which transcends all understanding, will rest so strongly upon them and their situation. Father, perhaps others are concerned about work, about school, about university, about family, all kinds of things. Father, speak peace into our situation at this time, we pray. Our Father, we do pray for those who lead our country, our politicians, those who provide scientific guidance, those who have significant responsibilities in leading our nation at this time. Our Father, we all have our own views, but you call us to be obedient and good citizens and to pray for those in leadership over us, and we gladly do that now and pray that you'd really help them and give them wisdom through these very uncharted times. Our Father, we pray for those who care for and who find and have their homes in those homes that we care for as well here. We lift to you all involved with Eventide, for all involved with Tudor Court, and for all who are involved with Bethesda in Romania. Father, please bless each of these situations, we pray, with that which they need at this time. Our Father, we pray for those who currently are unwell or frail, those who are unable any longer to get out, even if they would like to. Father, you know the situations, we have them before us in family news, and we just lift them to you again afresh now. Father, work wonderfully in their lives, we pray. We pray too for our children, our young people, as they return to school especially. Father, with all the challenges that go with that in these times, we pray too for those who in our church family are involved in teaching and working in our schools. Father, bless and help them in their ministry and their work at this time as well, we pray. And our Father, just for a few moments and in the quietness, we bring our own prayers and petitions with thanksgiving to you now. Our Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you for the encouragement of those words that the Apostle Paul brought to the church to bring prayers, and he wouldn't have said that unless you were absolutely ready and willing to hear our prayers. And so we thank you that that is how you are, and you listen and respond to our prayers. And our Father, as Paul now comes to share with us from this wonderful theme of peace, would you help and bless him and each of us as we listen now? And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you, Guy, for leading us in our worship and in our prayers. And so we're going to think now about the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace. And that plum tree that I told you about a few moments ago in my garden, that's been just a great disappointment to me. And you could say that in the course of the summer, I was involved so often in a fruitless search for plums. I used to go back to the tree and think, surely there's been all that blossom, surely there are going to be some plums, but there never were any. It was a fruitless search. And somebody has said this very wisely, I think, for much of its history, the human race has been involved in a fruitless search for peace. And I think there's much truth in that. There's been many attempts to bring about world peace. There's been a great longing for peace, but for much of its history, the human race has been involved in terrible conflicts. I do quite a lot of reading about the Great War, the First World War, which is a particular area of interest for me. And I came across this phrase, very poignant, I thought, in the diary of a young man. He was just in his early 20s. And he wrote this in his diary in September 1916. So he was a survivor of the Battle of the Somme. And he wrote, "If only peace would come." And I'm sure that there were millions of others who shared that aspiration. If you'd asked many of the German soldiers, if you'd asked the British Army, the French Army, they'd said, "Yep, we're longing for peace. We've been at war for more than 2 years." But of course, the tragedy was that that war was to continue for more than two further years with great loss of life. And next Sunday, of course, we will be remembering online once again all those who have given their lives in so many conflicts of the 20th and the 21st centuries. And I want to just share one startling statistic with you this morning, and it's this, that since the end of World War II, there have only been 26 days when the world has known full peace. We've been searching for peace, you could say, but it's been fruitless. We haven't found the peace that we've been looking for. We've searched through the United Nations and through peacekeeping forces and maybe through a nuclear deterrent, but peace has proved elusive. And you know, I think what is true on a global scale, it's also true domestically in our experience, isn't it? I want you to think of an occasion, think of when you've come home from work and you've been absolutely exhausted and you've given your all in the course of the day. What is it that you long for in your home above all that evening? And of course, it's peace. You might even say, "Oh, I'm just longing for a bit of peace and quiet." And sometimes, of course, on many occasions, your home is a haven of peace. But think of an occasion when it's not been like that, when you've come home longing for peace and your home has been anything but peaceful. There have been all sorts of problems. Why is it then that our search for peace as humanity so often proves fruitless? Well, I think it's because we haven't really grasped the heart of the problem of conflict. And the heart of that problem is the problem of the heart, the human heart. James puts it really succinctly and directly, as always, and he says, "What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war in your hearts?" And we heard earlier Russ Whitfield in that clip from Christianity Explored saying that we as human beings are in conflict with God. So here is the heart of the problem that needs to be addressed if our search for peace is not to prove fruitless. But I want to tell you also this morning about a single source when it comes to peace. And the truth is this, that real and lasting peace is to be found in Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. I think as human beings, we often think that the answer to conflict is to build walls. That's tragically true, isn't it? Think of how many physical walls there have been built throughout history and even being built nowadays in order to separate different conflicted groups of human beings. And I think we don't just build physical walls, we build walls in our minds and in our relationships. We build walls, but Jesus breaks them down. In his letter to the Galatian Christians, which we're focusing on as we look at the fruit of the Spirit, Paul wrote these words: "Now there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, you are all one in Christ Jesus." That was an amazing, revolutionary message, because in the ancient world, the deepest divisions were racial and were social. Think of the division between slaves and those who were free, and gender. All of those divisions were really, really deep. And Paul says they're all done away in Christ. That's such a revolutionary thought. We haven't even fully grasped the reality of that today. True and lasting peace is not found in a wall. It's not found in a peacekeeping force. It's not found in a nuclear deterrent. It is found in the person of Jesus. Paul says to us that Jesus has made peace through the blood of his cross. Through his sacrifice, through giving up himself to death, Jesus has brought man and God back together. He has made it possible for us to know peace with God. But he has also made it possible for the bitterest, the most implacable of foes to come together in the family of God. And that is truly miraculous. Do you long for peace this morning? Is there a longing in your heart for peace? I want to say to you, come to Jesus and you will not be disappointed. In the Narnia stories, there's a wonderful incident where one of the characters, Eustace, is very, very thirsty, and he comes across a wonderful sparkling river. And he longs to just kneel down by the river and plunge his head into the water and to drink deeply. But sat there alongside the river, he sees an enormous lion. And he's very frightened of the lion. And he doesn't dare to approach near to the river. The lion, of course, is Aslan. And after a few moments, Aslan speaks to Eustace and says, "If you are thirsty, you may come and drink." And Eustace says something like, "Well, thank you very much, sir, but I think, if you don't mind, I'll go and find another river." And Aslan looks him straight in the eye and says, "There is no other river." And that's how it is with Jesus. He is the only river. He is the only source of forgiveness and love and joy and peace. If these things are going to be in our lives, we need to come to Jesus in repentance and in faith and to come into a relationship with him. And thirdly and finally, I want to just think about the life-giving Spirit. You see, peace with God is not the end of the story. It's wonderful when someone becomes a Christian and when they are at peace peace with God. That's a most wonderful thing. It brings great joy in this world and in heaven. But it's not the end of the story, because God's desire for us is that we should know peace in our hearts, that we should know the peace of God, even in the midst of the most turbulent times. And this is so relevant to where we are in our nation this morning, isn't it? God's desire is that we should know his peace, which, as Guy read to us a short while ago, is a peace that transcends human understanding. It doesn't seem to make sense that we're at peace, but we are, because we have the peace of God in our hearts. And God's desire is also that we should be at peace with each other, because conflict is so common in human relationships. And it's true, isn't it, that we find, even if we are Christians and walking with Jesus, that sometimes we get very anxious. That's true, isn't it? Things upset us. Sometimes we get angry with other people. Sometimes we're conflicted, as we say, inside. We can't make a clear decision. Sometimes we're afraid. And Paul tells us this, that as much as lies in us, as far as it's possible, he says, live at peace with everybody. Now that, as far as it's possible, as much as lies in you, that kind of suggests to me that it's not always going to be easy to live at peace with other people. And you know that, don't you, from your own experience. It isn't easy. Paul elsewhere says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And you might say to me, but Paul, that sounds much more like human effort than it sounds like the fruit of the Spirit. And there are things that we can do to deal with anxiety in our own lives and to try and deal with anger. But I want to say this to you. This peace of God that we've read about this morning, that transcends human understanding, ultimately, you can't create it inside yourself. This peace of God is the fruit of the Spirit. And it's important, therefore, that we live by the Spirit, that we keep in step with the Spirit. Do you remember that incident when Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee in the boat along with his disciples, and there was a terrible storm that swept down from the surrounding hills, and the disciples were in a terrible panic and thought the boat was going to sink, and Jesus was asleep. Have you ever wondered why Jesus was sleeping? And I think partly it's because he was fully human. I'm sure he was exhausted from the giving, from the ministry that he'd been involved in. But I think also he was modeling for the disciples what it means to be at peace in the midst of the storm. There are storms ahead for us as a nation this winter. That's clear. I'm not talking about physical storms. We know that there are really difficult and dark times ahead, and we may well feel anxious, we may well feel dismayed, and we know that those around us who we come into contact with, that they will feel, many of them, dismayed. And so it's really important that you and I as Christians, that we should keep close to Jesus, that we should keep in step with the Spirit, that we should walk with him. And as we do that, we will experience the peace of God in our hearts. And we will be in a position to share that wonderful peace of God with others with whom we come into contact. We're going to sing about that. There we are, exactly what Guy did last week. It's always, we're so used to saying that. We're going to listen to a song. We're going to share in a song together now, but without singing, as we think of how good it is when the family of God dwell together in faith and in unity. And after this song, we will have the benediction as we close. So let's worship in our hearts as we think of the peace of God which binds us together as one in Christ. And so we end with a prayer for this morning, but for, I think, the days ahead. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.